Welcome tonight. Glad you're here. Thank you to Ben for preaching last week in my absence. I heard it on the podcast, and he's good, isn't he? It's a good job. And next week, you're going to be really blessed. Monday night's going to be awesome. We have a really special night lined up with Monday. Phil's going to be leading that with a number of opportunities for you, so please don't miss next Monday. We have a couple of things that I need to make sure that we do before we go on any further, and that is we need to pass these KFC buckets. Who can tell me what the KFC buckets are for? Chicken? That's a good guess, but it's not right. Who? Philippines. A couple of weeks ago, I talked a little bit about it. We have three ministries, much like this one, in the Philippines that are a part of Encounter. And they need money to support, be supported. It's a third world country, and your extra cash going to that helps tremendously. If you're visiting with us, just let this pass. Just you get to know us a little bit. But if you're a regular person that's been here and you know about this, opportunity to give tonight. We also have these clipboards, and on the clipboard will be a list of names of people that are already on signed up for Fall Retreat. And if you are signed up but you don't think that you can go, please cross your name off so that we get a good count of how many are going to be there. So there might be another clipboard somewhere, but we can pass those around. Hey, we're going to enter into a new series. And usually, if you know me, I just don't have the attention span to go for a whole semester or, God forbid, a whole year on something. I just couldn't do it. It'd be so hard for me. But we are going to do a series that's going to last the rest of the semester. Because it's important enough. It's going to keep my attention. It's going to keep your attention. It is a profound, profound topic, I believe. And it's going to be entitled Questions. I've had the privilege of hanging out with a few people in recent years that are smarter than me. That's pretty easy to do. Some people that are more experienced in business and in the world and have some pretty good leadership characteristics. And I have learned from them that they ask good questions, and good questions are the mark of a great leader. And I want each one of you, as you leave this place, as you guys leave ISU, to say, my time at Encounter made me a better leader. We are really, really serious about that as one of our main pushes, is that we want you to know Jesus, the greatest leader, in such a way that you will be like him. And you know, Jesus, far as I know, created everything that there was, understands everything that's ever been made, and yet in his 3-year recorded time in Scripture, it shows that he asked over 300 questions. Now, what's a guy who knows everything asking questions for? And I think what I have learned in the last few years is that some of the friends and some of the people that I have greatly admired in my life, some of the people, Dr. Dietz, if you ever get to meet him, he's your president, for you freshmen that don't know, here at ISU, I guarantee you, you spend 5 minutes with him, he's going to ask you 2 or 3 questions, and they're going to be good ones. Penetrating questions, follow-up questions, questions that are going to get to the heart of who you are and what you need. Questions are a key component to anybody that's going to be a leader. And I want to spend the next semester using the setup room that we've talked about in the last few weeks, about this being a safe place, about Jesus being in the center. And I want you to just come here every week expecting that Jesus is going to ask you a specific question about your life. And as we look at that, that question that he's going to ask you, it might have a completely different answer depending on who you are. But Jesus knows that asking questions is huge. Now, here's two things I've noticed about hanging with people that are really good question askers. I always feel closer to them. I always feel humbled, like they draw you in. When somebody actually asks you your opinion on something, doesn't it just make you just feel like your shoulders go down just a little bit and you just get drawn in? And it's like they care about me. Good questions draw people in, and I believe a good question will rise people up. It will challenge people to something greater. This morning, I was hanging with my kids, and we try to do a verse every morning before they leave for school. This is the verse that came up this morning from Romans. It says, love must be sincere. And as I've been wrestling through what makes a good question, I think it's not the words that come out, it's the sincerity behind the question that makes all the difference. And you guys know that. We're going to get into a question of Jesus' later, but don't forget that. Love must be sincere. And if you have sincerity in your heart and you're asking questions, I think that you're on your way to leadership. And we have an awful lot of things to learn from Jesus as we go through this series. But that just sets the tone. Please be anticipating each week that you show up. What's Jesus' question this week? We'll have a different one each week. All right? Let's pray and let's invite God to come into this place. God, thank you. Thank you for being the ultimate example for us, for challenging us to be like you. You didn't come just to rescue us. You came to redeem us. You came to rise us up. You came to challenge us and to make us something great. And I ask, God, that we would follow your example of being good question askers this week, that the rest of this talk tonight would honor you and it would be exactly what you're wanting to say, that your word would be clear. And we just lift this up in the name of Jesus. Amen. 8 years ago, just before Christmas, one of the students, one of you guys, who's long gone now, was at the campus house. Her name is Brittany, and Brittany gave me a call, and she said, Pete, it's Sunday afternoon, actually Sunday evening, it's just getting dark. She said, Pete, did you let somebody stay at the campus house last night? I said, no, I didn't. Some of you know the story, just a couple of you. And it's a good one. I said, no, I didn't. She says, I said, why? Somebody must have messed it up. She goes, no, it's not messed up. It's clean. Clean as a whistle. I said, what's the problem? She said, Pete, it's just freaky over here. It's really eerie. It's like somebody came in and made the campus house their own. Overdramatic, Brittany. What are you talking about? So, I can you see anybody from where you're? No, can't see. Well, all right, I'm going to go over. I have this idea. I'm going to go in the back door and I'm going to scare Brittany, right? So I open up the door, I sneak in the back door, and immediately my intentions of freaking her out flipped on me. I was like, holy, holy crap. This place is spooky. There was a candle lit in the middle of my office on a paper plate. Now, when it's dark and all you have is like a candle lit, and that's freaky stuff. I go in the other room. In the center of that room, there's a candle lit with a paper plate. Other room, candlelit. Start looking around. Brittany comes around the corner. She says, see what I mean? Like, we can't even talk loud because we're just like, whoever lit these candles is not far removed. So we start looking around and we start getting even more freaked out. Bibles are propped up on the back of the toilet seats. Bibles facing out, Holy Bible, facing out in every one of the windows. Kind of freaky, isn't it? What's going on? I'm like, this has got to be a prank. It's got to be a prank. Who's doing this? This is stupid. Whoever's here, come out. Nobody comes out. We start realizing that the computer that was on this side of the campus house is now on that side. And we go into the kitchen and the cups that were in the top right are in the bottom left. And the plates are moved around. And the refrigerator, I open up the refrigerator, and then one of the students had shot a deer and had some venison in the freezer. Well, that was taken out. It was cooked, and it was half eaten on a plate. What is going on? And then as I shut the fridge door, I realized the refrigerator used to be like, usually I have just enough gap between that and the wall so that we could put my broom in there. It was slid all the way up tight against the wall, which made me think, this is no prank. People that are going to do a prank are not going to think about that detail. And now I'm really starting to get a little bit freaked out. I walk over to the sink. The sink in the kitchen has underwear soaking in it. A little freaky, isn't it, Wayne? I go in the other room, and we start noticing little weird things, little OCD things, like all the push pins are all lined up on the walls. All the pictures of people are gone, but the pictures of scenery are still there. We are freaking out. We're in the middle of the campus house. It's dead quiet, candles lit, all this freaky stuff going on, and we hear, if you've been to the campus house, you know there's two doors, right? We hear the first door open. Second door opens. This little lady comes in with a big old bag over her back. Big old black bag, black, you know, those garbage bags, I'm trying to say. She drops this garbage bag. And she walks right up to me, all freaky-eyed. Just like right in my eyes. And she goes, "I've been expecting you. Come in and have a seat." And she comes in and she goes and she sits down. "What do you do with that?" So I turn to Brittany. I said, I'm going to handle this. And I just walked over to this lady and I said, "This actually isn't your house." "It most certainly is. I've been here all day. And I've found it. And I've been decorating and I've been cleaning and it's mine. I found this house." Okay. I said something else to her, and she got defensive at that, and I could tell she was really angry with me, and she was really defensive, and she was really wanting, she had a combative spirit. And then Brittany does something that I would have never dreamt of in a million years. Brittany asks her a question. Brittany says, "So how often do you have company?" Her shoulders go down. She relaxes a bit and she goes, "Oh, once or twice a week." "Oh." And she had a follow-up question. What do you usually serve them?" You could tell she's becoming even more comfortable now. And she says, "Coffee, tea." "Oh, okay." And she would continue to ask these questions. And I'm like giving Brittany the wink, like, "Keep asking questions, Brittany." And I go in the other room and I dial 3 digits. And we come back in the other room and we find out that she had escaped, or not escaped, that kind of sounds too much maybe. She was in an institution in Springfield, was trying to get herself to Chicago, and the bus kind of stopped there by the bone and just like right back here and just walked into the campus house that was open that night, and she just walked in and just kind of made it her own. So that is the story of Belinda. Okay? So if you guys want to reminisce more about some of the details, we can do that later. But that happened, and I learned something from Brittany in that moment. There is power in a question. You ask questions, it brings people. I told you before, right? It's one of the most diffusing things for people is when you ask them a question, they feel at peace and they feel drawn in. And now, granted, she wasn't all there, okay? We know this. But isn't it funny that even in the state that she was in, she's asked questions. She is calm and she is cordial and she is comfortable with questions being asked to her, even as she is sitting in the house that she just broke into. That's crazy. I'm someone who I'm learning. I'm trying to become better at questions. I go through seasons where I feel like I'm pretty good, and other times I'm just awful. I'm just a terrible question asker at times. And that's something I'm learning about with my staff, and we're kind of doing some self-analysis, and we're trying to look at
at what our strengths and weaknesses are, and I'm really realizing that I don't always ask questions. I'm pretty good at making statements, but that is not the sign of a great leader. And I have an example just of the opposite of that. Instead of drawing people in, you can get people to go from you. So, just story time tonight, I guess. I'm just going to roll with it. But 2 years ago, I was at National Student Conference. And you ever get that early morning walk where you're, like, outside, and it's just somehow you can just, like, hear everything, like, there are footsteps of people, like, 20 feet away because it's just quiet and it's just peaceful and it's just morning, you know? It's just like, hmm. And I'm walking along a National Student Conference, and almost everybody there knows everybody because you see each other, you at least recognize each other because it's a big conference, a couple hundred students. And, of course, people are going to recognize who I am. They might not know me, but they're going to know who I am, probably. And so this guy's walking along, the student's up ahead of me, about 20 feet away from me, and he's walking. And I noticed that, you guys know my passion, my Michigan State passion. Michigan State fans hate Michigan. I mean, just hate Michigan. And this guy had a Michigan shirt on. I was like, eee. And so I said something, or I was like, I said, hey, I hate your shirt. Not the best thing to probably say, right? And he turns around and looks at me, and I'm thinking, I'm going to keep the joke up because that's what you're supposed to do, right? So now he recognizes me because he's turned around. So I'm like, hey, yeah, I'm talking to you. Again, probably not the thing. I'm supposed to say the guy had no idea. He wasn't a part of our conference at all. Okay? So imagine you're walking along and you just hear some dude behind you just be like, hey, I hate your shirt. Yeah, I'm talking to you. He turns around and he starts walking away really fast. I'm like, oh, dang it. Now I got to go, like, reconcile with a guy, put my foot in my mouth. And so I start walking fast, too. And we can, like, we can start hearing each other's footsteps, right? So he's like, tonk, tonk, tonk. I'm like, tonk, 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 tonk. And I'm getting closer and closer. Now he's jogging, like a light morning jog. And so I'm running, and I'm like, right after him. And I catch up to him, and I get, what do you do there? You know? I get, maybe this is like my third opportunity, maybe ask a question, do something like, no, I don't reach out. I know what you don't do, okay? You don't reach out and grab his shoulder. So I just wanted to be like, hey, buddy, hey, all love here, man, sincere love. And I just wanted to like grab, and I grab him, and he like knocks my arm back, like, boom, and he like puts his arm back like he's ready to fight, and I'm like, sorry. Sorry. So you can tell how out of control Michigan fans. But the whole point is the Michigan fans just, they got problems. Hey, who did I just describe in your life? Are you more like Brittany? Are you more like somebody that's just going to engage in questions? Or are you more like me? Let me ask this question. The people around you, do they seem to have their shoulders like sunk down in a comfortable way? Are they at peace around you, or are they running from you? Like, seriously, are people like distancing themselves from you? This really is at the core of it. I think a lot of it can come down to, are you a good question asker with sincerity? Now, with sincerity, there's a lot of people that are asking questions. What do you think of this? But are you doing it with sincerity of heart? Like, I really love you, want what's best for you. I'm going to ask you a question. Let's take a look at our text tonight. Jesus. This is like the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. This is from John chapter 1, okay? And it says here, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. So John had two disciples. These are not Jesus' disciples. John has two guys. And what I really want you guys to grasp here is like this is the beginning of a real popularity of Jesus, and there's like a reputation of him is growing, and there's a buzz in the air. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, guys, the Lamb." He didn't say guys. "Look, the Lamb of God." And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following, and he asked, "What do you want?" I kind of get the same picture as when I was at NSC at this retreat. Like these guys are like, "John just told us he's the Lamb of God, and he's all the stuff." And so they're like, kind of like following behind, and Jesus is walking in, and Jesus kind of turns around and is like, "Hey, what do you guys want?" In our culture today, I can't with certainty say the tone in which Jesus said what he said. But I can tell you that Jesus was love. And I can tell you that love must be sincere. And I can tell you that my take on this is that his turnaround when he said, "What do you want?" It isn't a annoyed, "Why are you following me? What the heck do you guys want?" question. I believe it was more of a, "I am the creator of the universe. I've made these two guys and their souls and their hearts. I have made everyone on this planet. I have come down here on earth to try to help everybody find out the fullness of who they are, to meet them in their soul needs, to know that every person I've made is created differently and they have unique problems that I want to answer specifically to their situation." And he sees these two guys coming and he turns around and he says with most sincere, from the depths of his heart, he looks him in the eyes and he says, What do you want? What do you want? Do you want satisfaction? Do you want contentment? Do you want peace? Do you want a fresh start? What is it that's unique to you? What do you want?" This is the question that Jesus asks. And I believe it really had the potential of being the deepest of all questions, but it came off as maybe one of the shallower questions, because this is their response. When they have the opportunity to tell him anything they want, this is what they say. They say, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "That's what we want." "Can we hang out at your apartment?" Jesus says, "Come and you'll see." Come and see. If I'm Jesus in that moment, I'm a little disappointed. And I got to tell you, I'm a little bit like Jesus in the sense that I have so many stories I've heard of students like you who have come to this place and you have deep, deep needs, deep issues, deep soul itches that need to be scratched. And I know that Jesus can offer that for you. And I know that this community can offer that for you. And what I'm tempted to do is I'm tempted to sit down with each person and I'm tempted to find out through 3, 4, 5 hours of conversation what is the deep recesses of your heart issue that you want. What do you want? And I want to help you find it with Jesus. But that doesn't usually work. And the way I've noticed how Jesus works is he takes what he can get. But he says, "I want you to at least come with me." And they're like, "Hey, where are you staying?" "Come and see." He doesn't say, "Oh, I think what you really meant to ask was, no. You want to check out where I'm staying? Come on. It's not much to it, but come and see." And it begins a journey where they start walking together and they start interacting together. And one thing leads to the next, which leads to the next. And we begin to realize that the deep soul itch that each of you have is only going to be scratched by a relationship with a guy named Jesus. It isn't going to be some answer. It isn't going to be some statement. It isn't going to be some word that you read. It's going to be a relationship with a guy named Jesus. And if the first step is you taking a walk down to the apartment, or you taking a walk to someone's house, or you taking a walk to campus, or you taking a walk to the fall retreat, it's the first step that you need to take to make this relationship really happen for you.
Next. So they went and they saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. And the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. First thing he did when he started following Jesus, he was like, "Man, I got to bring somebody else along too." There is something about following Jesus that challenges you to doing something beyond yourself and including somebody else in on this that's not just you. This is the result. The result is supposed to be relational. And isn't it when you find like a really good friend, you're like, "Oh, wait right here. Don't move." And you go get your friends and you want to bring them to. Like, there's just something that you want to share about a relationship with Jesus. A couple of things that I want to make sure we close with. Is I really I want to mention that there's two things in my own life, questions. The question is not just bringing people in, and that certainly has happened for me. Jesus has asked me questions that have brought me into a relationship with Him. But there have been people in my life that have asked me questions along the way that have risen me up. And I can remember being in a dorm room 20 years ago. And I remember that there was a lot of talk about baptism going on, and there was a lot of people wanting to get baptized, and a lot of people that were wanting to argue about baptism, and it seemed like it was the kind of the thing to do. I was at this Bible college, and everyone wanted to debate, "Do you have to be baptized? Do you not have to be baptized?" And I was so sick of it, and I was like, "You know what? I'm just going to take a stand and understand that God is bigger than baptism, and therefore I'm not going to get baptized, and it's not a big deal, and I'm just going to, if they want to argue with me, I got some scripture I can argue with them," and I got like my little attitude going, and I just wanted to like debate scripture with some people, and somebody came to me, and they were like, "So you're going to get baptized?" And I'm like, "Heck no, I'm not going to get baptized." No, I didn't say quite like that, but I was like, "No, I'm not going to," and I was all ready for my argument, because I heard a lot of other people arguing about that same topic, and then my roommate came to me, and you know what he said? He asked me a question. He just said, "Why?" He said, I can see you love God. I'm not going to argue that. And it's no skin off my nose if you don't get baptized. I'm just kind of wondering, Jesus said to do it. Why aren't you doing it?" And you know what I had to do with that? Even though I hated that question at that time, I did. I really hated the fact that he asked that question. But he asked me in sincerity of love. And I had to go home, and I had to wrestle with that question between me and Jesus. And all of a sudden, I started looking at Scripture a whole lot different, because I was debating with Jesus. And boy, you're going to lose when you debate with Jesus. I could have argued, and I can argue with a lot of people here. If you want to argue about some stuff, we could debate. I could get into that with you. You know what? Who cares? What's Jesus say? What's Jesus' question? Jesus, I began to realize, has an interest in me as well. He has my interest at stake. He cares about me so much that he offered this baptism idea, and I thought, oh, now I'm seeing it from his perspective, and it's not I have to do it. I get to do it. I don't have to do anything. I get to do it. And suddenly I began to realize that the real power in that was somebody just asking me a question, just saying, "Why? You love Jesus. He said do it. Why wouldn't you?" Those people make me so... No. Those people make me so much better. That's good. You might not realize this, but our ministry costs money. And we've got quite a few staff that are underpaid to prove it. And I always want to try to find ways to get more finances so that this kingdom can grow, so that ISU can just be this amazing place where we send leaders all the time. So somebody's got to like go talk to people about money, and you're like, "Ugh," and that's kind of my job. So yeah, yay.
And for a while, that's kind of my attitude towards it. And now my attitude isn't about raising money. I'm not the money raiser anymore. You know what I am? I'm the vision sharer. And I get to go out and I get to share with people and I get to ask them questions about what do they think about the Great Commission, about Jesus sending leaders, and about Jesus' purpose for that. And what do you think I should do about maybe expanding ministries in the Philippines? What do you think about that? Because I had a friend of mine who said, if you ask for money, you're going to get advice. You'll learn that. If you need to ask for money, you'll be like, hey, I need some money. And it'll be like, have you thought about doing a car wash? Thank you. But if we flip that over and we say, if we ask for advice, oftentimes you'll get money. There's a number of people in town that have got some pretty big bank accounts that I am trying to meet with, and I do meet with regularly. And they haven't given me a dime yet. Don't get the wrong idea. But you know what I've gotten from some of these guys? I've gotten some really, really good advice. And I ask for advice. I ask a question. What do you think I should be doing? One of the first questions that this person said that I was meeting with said, well, what's your plan for 10 years from now? Like, none. You should get a 10-year plan. Like, okay. I met with him again. He says, you got your 10-year plan? I said, yeah. Who's your next hire? I don't know. You got to think about that. I asked him a question. Now he's asking me a slew of questions, and this has turned into kind of a beautiful relationship where tomorrow morning now I get to meet with about 10 different businessmen in town, and we get to meet around a table, and guess what we're doing tomorrow morning? We're asking each other questions about what it would look like to run businesses in our town that would reflect what it's like to be Christ followers. Like really Christ followers, like really different. And I get to be a part of that conversation tomorrow morning. Is there any money involved with that? Nope. Questions being asked, relationships being deepened, and all of a sudden I'm beginning to realize that some of the people that I didn't even dream about supporting our ministry are starting to support our ministry because they are understanding that I am not out there to try to just create money. I'm out there to ask questions to make the kingdom grow. They know I'm on their side. They know I'm on my side. And everything starts to grow and everything starts to be beautiful. Does that make sense? I hope I'm not over your head on that. But that's just the way it is. You ask questions and beautiful things happen. Beautiful things. So here's what I want to end with. I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you the same question Jesus asked. What do you want? From the depths of my heart, from the deepest spot of sincerity of love that I can come from, I got to just ask this question. This is not trite. What do you want? Do you want peace? Do you want a fresh start? Do you want forgiveness? Do you want to just belong? Do you want significance? Do you want an adventure? What do you want? What is it that you really deep down want? I really believe Jesus wants to just give you that. And I really want you to know, I'm going to ask you that in this room, that this is it's a deeper level question. Everything has a deeper level to it. If you ask that question to your roommate, what do you want? She might just be like, a boyfriend. Right? Ask a follow-up question. Why? Is it because you want significance? Is it because you want to belong? Is it because you want something deeper? And you see, I think that everyone at the deepest level, they have the same questions they want answered. And those are the questions that we are going to be asking throughout the course of the rest of this semester. And so I'm going to ask you to do two things this week. Two. I know it's a lot. The first thing is this. I want you to tell Jesus what you want. I want you to say it out loud. I want you to find a time alone with God where you can just go to Him and you can say, Jesus, I want my life to be significant. Jesus, I want you to let me help me change the world for your glory. That's what I want. What is it? You need to say what it is that you want, say it to the Lord, and just see if He doesn't just challenge you in that this whole semester. Cool? What's number one? Ask Jesus, what do you want? Tell Jesus, what do you want? Second thing, be like Andrew, who starts following along with Jesus, and like the first thing he does is he's got to bring somebody else along. This really should be the natural response. Is if you really feel like Jesus is there to answer your what do you want question, or his what do you want question is offered to you, he's going to want you to share that with someone else. And I just think that this is my take on things. I think you guys know something deep within you that you want people that don't know Jesus to have. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're in this room and you're like, dude, I just got drug in here. Hey, that's cool. Then I want to talk to you for a second, because I believe all of us deep down have something within us that we know is from Jesus. And I would really like all of us to find a place where we can bring them so that they can grow in that. And so the second question is this: will you ask somebody this week that same question? What do you want? It's simple. It's a simple question. What do you want with life? And when they say whatever it is that they want, narrowing it down to belonging or to significance or to hope or to whatever it might be, you can say, I think I may have found a place. I think I may have found a place. And you don't have to over explain it. You don't have to be like, okay, we got to start with Jesus and there's like a bridge and we got to talk about sin and we got to, no. All you have to do as a follow-up is say, come and see. That's what Jesus said. Remember at the beginning of our whole sermon? This is really what I really want to emphasize here tonight, is that this is a relationship that starts simple. You guys are experts at relationship. You know it won't work to go to somebody across the hall and say, what do you want? Because I've got Jesus. It's not going to work. But I think late at night, 3 a.m, you have those honest conversations. What do you want with life? You know, me too. And you know where I'm going this weekend? I'm going to a retreat. Oh yeah, is it going to be awesome? I don't know, it might suck. But come and see. Why don't you come and see? Come and see. No pressure on you that way. Come and see. Hey, what do you want? Come and see. What do you want? Come and see. Those are like two of the easiest phrases you guys could throw out there that couldn't be more significant. What do you want? Come and see. You know what we're going to do tonight? We're going to end. Don't you just feel like singing your guts out right now? Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do too, Wayne. We had this girl one time who was like answered every rhetorical question I ever answered. And I loved it. I loved it. And so, Wayne, loving it, baby. You answer it for me. Hey. And that's not even a rhetorical question. Do you guys want to sing your guts out right now? I just kind of have that feeling, that urge to do that in a big way. Like, God, you are awesome. That's what I want. And you know what? If you really, 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 really want it, you got to wait till Friday at the retreat. Let's stand up and pray. Stand up. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for being a God that wants to give us what we want.
You've made us. You've created us. You understand exactly what it is that makes us tick. You know exactly what it is that's made us broken. You know our situations. You know our pain. You know our abuse. You know the issues that we have faced. You know the problems that have come our way. And you know exactly what it takes to fix us and to make us whole. And we're asking, God, that you do that. And I don't know what the answer is to what these people want, but I know that you're the answer. I know you're the answer. So I don't know the source of the question, but I do know that. I do know the answer. And Father, I am asking that you would start something right now in this series, that we would just come with anticipation every week to find the question that you're asking that's going to prick our heart to do more and more with you. I ask that you would maybe even now convict people, new people here tonight that don't know a soul, to just come with us this weekend. Come and see. And that there could be something incredibly beautiful at the end of this road for all of us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a good night. Thank you.